go to Exodus 3:1. I was already preaching. I've already preached about three times today, but glory to God, let's do it again. We're on a roll, glory to God. You know, I think, brother, there is something in here for feet, too. There's an anointing. If your feet have been bothering you, just receive your healing during the service. Amen. Any part of your feet. If your feet have been hurting you, I command that pain to leave your feet. I command your feet to be whole in Jesus' name. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Right now, take it right now in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Are you in Exodus? I'm looking for you, Lord. I'm looking for what you want on that. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. That's the Sinai mountains. Okay. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked and behold, the bush was burning with fire. So the bush was not consumed, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush did not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called him. Now it said, when the Lord saw, God showed up. Then when he saw that he was going to participate, then the next step happened. There you go. He called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. He said, here I am. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face and he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I've surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I've come down to deliver. Come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them from the land to a good land, a large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to a place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, all those ites. So Moses is herding. He's got his flock there. He goes up to Mount Horeb or Sinai up there. Now, Moses is, according to Josephus, Moses is actually being mindful not to graze on other people's territory. So he's at way out there. And he takes the flock up on this place, up on this mountain. And he sees this burning bush, but he sees that it's not being consumed when it's burning. He's going to go over there and he's going to see it. Signs and wonders are billboards. They lead you to where you want to go. They advertise. If you go on a long trip, you'll see billboards on the way, particularly Bucky's. See? And Bucky's will say you're going to be there in 7 miles, you're going to be there in 4 miles, you're going to be there in 2 miles. You're going to be there, Ruby Falls, remember? Yeah, we drove through Tennessee one time. Me and Deb were driving through Tennessee when her children were little. And we kept saying, come to Ruby Falls, come to Ruby Falls. And it was like, it's 65 miles to Ruby Falls. And there was a sign every mile for 65 miles. So we said, okay, let's go to Ruby Falls. So we backpacked, Jonas was real little, and we backpacked him in there, and it was a cave. And you walked down through the cave, and we thought, man, this must be going to be amazing with all the advertisement and everything. And when we got to the end of the cave, which is from here to Shelby, they turned a red light on a little waterfall falling out. Da 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 da. And we were like, yeah, let's go. Ruby didn't offer much, but but the signs did.
Yeah.
Signs will make you turn in.
Yeah.
Oh, mama, it's Bucky's. Or, oh, pastor, we got to get turkey jerky. Anyway, praise the Lord. These signs tell you where you want to go. So now what we see here is that Moses' vision, he sees this, but I don't know if you ever picked this up. There are really three steps to this. He sees the burning bush, but then he sees an angel. It said the angel of the Lord. Okay. So he sees the burning bush first, and then he sees the angel, and then God himself speaks out of the bush. Okay. So what I want to point out to you is he was exposed gradually. Okay. It's like someone who's in a dark room whose eyes cannot tolerate an immediate exposure.
Yeah.
They're going to go, ah, mm-hmm. Are you walking with me?
Yeah.
So you have to take, if you're going to help someone come into the light, you have to use the right approach. That's what this is called. Amen. This is called the approach today. We're talking about our approach. Okay. Now, one thing that I learned about God encounters. God has a certain way that he approaches, and then he offers us a certain way to approach. Now, you don't have to figure it out by yourself. Okay, you're gonna get the way. Right now, we're approaching one of the greatest times in the history of this world. You know, people are like, "He could have fooled me." You know, it looks like Armageddon and World War III and all that. Just no. This is the Great Awakening.
Amen.
This is wars and rumors of wars, but no. We're not done.
Amen.
No.
We're not done. So back up, buddy. Don't take that approach. Okay. So it's not the rapture yet, but it is the former and the latter rain.
Yes. Amen.
So all along the way, God's been preparing you. He's been preparing you all along the way if you've let him. Even if you got off the track for a little while, he's been preparing you. You may have slipped off a little bit and you come back on, then God keeps working. God keeps working. He'll even catch you up. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So the thing we need to understand about encounters is that God makes the first move. Brother Hagin taught us that years ago. A lot of people don't see that. They think it's just all about them. But God actually makes the first move. See, he came down to this lowly mountain. His people were suffering. They were miserable. They're in slavery. He joins their suffering. He enters this old thistle bush. The God of the universe doesn't belong in a thistle bush. Yet he wanted to come down, have a look around. Not that he can't see, but he wants you to see this is personal. And it's so personal that he enters an old thistle bush. He's coming to be with his people. Can I tell you prophetically, that's happening right now.
Amen.
Right now. Right now. God's people have been crying out. The world system's tried to put God's people in slavery. And God is not going to have it. Amen.
Amen.
So God makes the first move. He puts himself in this bush and it catches fire. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Hebrews 12:29 says, for God is a consuming fire. So church, he overwhelms. And he, whatever and whoever he comes in contact with, he'll overwhelm you. I think that was in the words of a song today. He overwhelms, but it's not with pain. See, the church lived for decades and decades believing that, well, we had to go through the fire. Well, we went through the fire. Well, we went through the fire. Well, we've been going through the fire. Everything's been hard. Well, that might be the wrong term to use. It'd be more like we've been through slavery and been through some hell, but not this kind of fire.
That's right.
Right? Now, it's not with pain. Now listen, don't shut me down for the next three sentences till I get this all out, okay?
Okay.
Okay. It's not painful unless you're guilty of sin. But then it can be painful. If you're guilty of sin, it could actually be painful. See, God, when Adam fell, Adam was wearing the glory. But when he fell, God had to pull back his very presence that was Adam's clothes. Because if God hugged Adam, he'd just do away with him. Because why? Not because God's being mean. I'm going to get you because you've been bad. That's not it. God is light. Sin is dark. Light comes in and hits sin. And if you're in it, see, I just told you why you needed to wait. Then it's going to hit you like a bug light. Okay. So it would be painful. Okay. But here's the good news. Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus has already paid for every sin that you're ever going to do. Amen. And every sin that you did do. So you're not locked to sin. Do you sin? Yeah. But it's been taken care of. That's not greasy grace. That's the truth. Every sin has been taken care of. Now, it's your choice how you're going to live in this world, because there is seed time and harvest. But between you and God, it's as if you've never sinned. Are you with me?
Yes.
Is that real hard for you to believe? Because it's scripture. That's what it means. That's what justified is, just as if I'd never sinned. And it's not just at the point of you getting born again, which a lot of people preach because they want to make sure that you stay in line. So they tell you you'll fall from grace and all that kind of stuff. You're not going to fall out. You could choose and it'd be very hard to get out. Church, God's trying to get people in.
Amen.
He's a God of grace and mercy. He's not looking, oh, you're in today. Oh, you're out today. Oh, you're in today. Oh, you failed. That's not how it works. You are a child of the living God now. You've been adopted. You're not going to get unadopted. So you're not going to hell. You're going to heaven. You could have hell on earth, though, if you choose to live with the lie of the curse. If you choose to live in a bunch of stuff. But you're actually free from all these things. Amen. And you pick up the nature of God and you will start not wanting to do things that are not right. That's the good choice. You start doing things right because on the inside you get some integrity. Say, I'm not doing that. No, I'm not skipping out on that. No, I'm not going to wake up tomorrow not knowing what I did yesterday. You know, things like that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Things begin to change. So we're in right standing with God. So the fire of God, as mentioned over with John the Baptist, he said in Matthew 3:11, I indeed baptize you with water into repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So what's that fire then? Holy Spirit, that's great. What's the fire? Well, it's not the fire of trouble. It's the power of the Holy Ghost washing through your soul. And when you're knocked out on the floor, or you're dancing around, or you're worshiping, or you're doing whatever, the chaff is being washed out. He said he came with his fork, with his winnowing fork, and he's going to clear it all out. So you're getting cleared out. Your soul's getting cleared out by the power of God. Well, you know, we don't need to have all that emotional stuff in our church where people are having all these encounters and things are happening. Well, then you're missing, because Jesus said we're to worship in spirit and in truth. Yes, the word will change you. Yes, the word can do all of these things, but the Spirit of God can come in and hit you in a second and wipe out things that you didn't even know existed. I know. It's happened to me. Praise the Lord. When the soul gets cleared out, the body heals. Many, many things. People that have asthma, that comes from a certain anxiety. Not totally, but a lot of times that does. People that have dealt with this, dealt with that, there's a certain trouble in their soul. Real easy to fix the soul. Remove self out, put Jesus in.
Amen.
Amen. Not always fun, but it works. So our approach then is, we're approaching this burning bush of our own here, this encounter. We have to take our sandals off. So what does that look like? This is actually a picture of removing every impediment between us and God. Nothing between me and God. Nothing. No parasite drag getting me down. No nothing. Well, Lord, I love you, but I need to... No buts. Okay? Yeah. Just get it out of the way. Church, particularly in that moment, the songs that we sing today totally set us up for what I'm talking about. Everything and what?
Nothing less.
And nothing less. I give you. That's you worshiping God, letting it all go. To this God who will climb every mountain, knock down the walls, come running after you. He's willing to do all those things, but he just needs you to remove every issue as you're coming into him. Even things you don't realize. A lot of people have pride issues. Sing and worship God. It's a pride issue. I'm meddling now. Yeah, it is. Well, I suppose I can't sing. You can do something. I know you were singing to Hank Williams over here in the car. People are like, who's Hank Williams? Never mind. Just remember he sang I Saw the Light. Now. Praise the Lord. So, when we come to God, it's about honor. It's about humility. It's about respect. It's about obedience. It's about order. Coming to God. There's a way to come to God. Now, according to the scripture, you can come to God, to the throne of grace. According to scripture now, you can come to the throne of grace to get help anytime. Can you? Anytime you can come. Anytime. You can come to God. You can come to the throne of grace, not the throne of I'm going to get you.
Right. Yeah.
Not the throne of punishment, the throne of grace, yeah. Right? So you can come, you can, because you have a born again spirit and you're a child of God. You can come anytime. Okay. Are y'all with me on this?
Yeah.
If you'll look deep, you'll get what I'm going after. Now, you don't have to be fearful when you approach.
Amen.
And you don't have to go, oh, God, you know, I know I'm bad. I've been bad. I know I've been bad. And he already knows that. He didn't find out that you sinned when you're telling him. He knew all about it, you know, or whatever it is. But as you come to him, you're pretty free about it. And think about Esther. She had a chance of perishing coming to the king. Her approach had to be a certain way. I mean, they spent, a couple of years fixing her up and getting her all prettified and everything. You know, she had to use Mary Kay for a long time or whatever. number seven, whatever it is y'all, everybody uses, you know. So Mary Kay and myself, but praise the Lord. So she had to take a chance. She had to take a chance to, yes. Your father, the king, will receive you, could come jump and sit on his lap if you wanted to. You could face him and he just loves you. He'll rock you. He'll play with you. He'll dance with you. He loves you. Right?
Yes.
However, there's still a good approach because Father is the king of the universe. So honor and respect and humility can be very rewarding in the presence of our Father as we enter an encounter when he shows up. You know, I think about the Jewish people. Blessed art thou, O King, blessed art thou, O God, King of the universe, maker of heaven and earth. You're like, well, you know, it's just repetitive. I think it's honor. I think it's honor. And I think we should really, in our services, in our worship, that should be in the forefront of our thinking. And in anything we do, in any approach. How about in an approach with one another?
Yes, that's good.
You know? Praise the Lord. You are so quiet. Now, I think this is going to help us, because I want you to keep in mind that we're approaching where many people are going to come get you to pray with them to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. The many people are not, but they're coming, and they're going to come and they're going to want it. Now, a lot of people fight the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They fight it. Well, I'm going to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. And then they'll come up to the altar and they just fight it. They just fight it. Mm-hmm. You hear me?
Yeah.
Have you seen those of you that have prayed? Mm-hmm. They're just fighting it. Well, it's because they're making themselves. Now hear me. This is going to help you in everything you do with God. They're making themselves the center of the encounter. You're not the center of the encounter. I know you feel like you ought to be, oh, I'm up here and I'm trying to, and it's not church. Getting baptized in the Holy Ghost is not, quote, trying to speak in tongues. And I think things got watered down to that in the church a lot. Let's see if we can get them to speak in tongues. Say this, Honda, Motorola, Toyota, you tie my tie, I tie your tie. That's not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is enough of God getting on you, because you're letting God get on you and in you, that you hear things in your spirit and you surrender your tongue and it happens. No. Just what you hear. The other day when you were filled and you just said, I said, did you hear something? Yeah. And then I said, well, say it. He started saying it. That's the difference.
Yes.
It's not trying to, if I could just make it through, it's not going to impress anybody, first of all. Well, I learned to speak in tongues. Then you don't have a clue what the baptism is. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is when you are totally dunked into the Spirit of God, like when you were baptized, and you come up and the Holy Spirit has more charge over your life, and you're able to understand the Bible like you could never understand before, and the gifts of the Spirit can flow through you, and everything changes because now you're anointed on a level that the world and most of the church is not even familiar with, and it's all to the glory of God. You will play your guitar different. You will administrate different. You will preach different. You will sing different. You will do everything different because now you are filled with God Almighty and He is ruling and reigning in you, and you're going to get results like you never got before. So this is not some little thing that you're supposed to do because it's the next step. Although people, it's okay. I know Brother Copeland asked his mother, Mama, is this something we should do? Do we need this? Yeah, get up there. So he did. But then he learned on the other side of it the importance of what's going on inside of him. Thank God for that.
Amen.
Amen. So, you're wall-to-wall God now. So this is my advice. Instead of trying to find out about the phenomenon that lies beyond your realm, understand and devote yourself to the lofty destiny of the ground on which you stand. Just give yourself to the part, to Him, that part. Let Him do it. Did y'all get that? I'm going to say it to you again. I know it's wordy. But I wrote away one as you get it. Instead, see, people are trying to figure out these encounters. Why this? Why that? No. Instead of trying to find out the phenomenon that lies beyond your realm, beyond your sphere, you're not going to understand everything that happens as soon as it happens. But what you do then is understand and devote yourself to the lofty destiny of the ground on which you stand. That's what Moses was doing. He was like, I'll take my boots off right here. I'm going to walk on over here. I'm going to obey this. There he is presenting himself to you. You're looking on. Then he tells you what to do, and then you move in. There's your approach. There's your approach to making money right there. Here comes the flame. You look in on it. He tells you what to do. You do it. You win. That's your approach. Praise the Lord. So Moses is there. He's on holy ground. He needed the right approach. Now listen to me. You are holy ground. You're holy ground. If you allow the Lord to manifest, you're the tabernacle. You're the holy of holies. Now, so, this is what they used to say, and we could say this, I believe this. God is a gentleman. And Holy Spirit will sit quiet in you. He'll sit quiet in you unless you yield. Unless you yield, he'll sit.
Yeah.
I just got a little boost when I said that. Unless you yield, he'll sit quiet in you. I didn't say try.
Yeah.
I said yield. This is the whole trouble with church people. They want to try to do God's will instead of yield to God's will. They want to try. They'll get in the river and start splashing around and practically drown themselves. When your feet will just touch the bottom. Got that, Mama? Now, love you. So, you yield. The best way to go down the river is to get on a tube and just enjoy yourself. Or just float. You could just float on your back. Most people can do that. Just flowing and relax, and you're not going to drown.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
But if you just yield to God. Remember the commercial, the Nesty Plunge?
Yeah.
And they just fall back in the pool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They gave up. They just fell back in the pool. Just give up.
Amen.
You yield. That's your approach. Yield to the yield signs, if you will. Yield. Mm-hmm. Okay, where are you going? Okay, what are you doing? Amen.
Amen.
Y'all like this?
Yeah.
All right. Now, then there's the glory realm. this is going to manifest out here and just take over. And you can stand on the sidelines and watch everybody else get all their stuff and go, what do they see? What are they, what? What are they, what? Or you can yield. I don't know. They're all jumping around in that church. I went over there. I didn't feel a thing. You're not yielding. All you have to do is just tip a little bit. For me, at least, I hope this is, happens to you. I can just tip a little bit and boom.
Yep.
Here he comes. Yeah. I'll hear him say something. I'll hear him do something. I'm like, ooh, there you are right there.
Right.
All you have to do is yield a little bit. Mm-hmm. That's true when you need to be comforted. Mm-hmm. Is he the comforter?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. I remember telling you that I was right there on at Cimarron Ranch. When the Lord shouted at me because I was so upset over my puppy that went to heaven. Not Gracie, but Max. And he just shouted at me, you refuse to be comforted. And I was like, oh, yeah. Well, when I was riding in the car after Gracie left on Wednesday, I just said, comfort me. Just comfort me. Just comfort me. My puppy's in heaven. Yes, they are. All dogs go to heaven. Now, just go ahead. Just comfort me. And he did. Y'all want to hear a secret? Don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. I had a dream. It is the funniest, cutest dream. I saw Gracie. She had wings. And she was flapping her wings flying, but she was doing her feet like bicycle. And in the dream, I started laughing and laughing, and I woke up. And I know it was the Lord just comforting me, just tickling. I don't know that she has wings in heaven. Maybe she wants them, she could. It would be like her to want them. But anyway, that comforted me. So now instead of seeing her little body get carried out, I see that.
Yeah.
I see that. I put that. And now many times it's tried to come back to me. Oh, she looked like she, I mean, she would, no, I see that. I look at that. I put my imagination there. I'm not going to refuse the comfort. I'm not going to refuse the unction. I'm not going to refuse the correction. I'm not going to refuse the direction. I'm not going to refuse the protection. I'm not going to refuse the provision. And I will know what to do. That's the word of the year. And so all of this is about yielding. Church, stop struggling. Stop struggling. Well, what am I, what's my part? What am I going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? How are we going to do? How can we do? John, what do you say to me? He rubs his ears and says, Pastor, woosa. Settle down, we got it.
Yeah.
Now, we'll talk more about the glory in the next few weeks probably, but I want you to walk down as we're going to close here. I'm going to walk down this quick trail with you. This is Joel 2:23. This is about approach. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. Now, the former and the latter rain are about two things, okay? They're about two things that are returning to the people of God. Okay, the former and latter rain. Because, you know, things get green and pretty when you have good rain. Now, these are the two things. Prosperity and the Spirit. Now, you may say, well, those things have never left me. I agree. They haven't. But even with us, we have to understand that we are at a time for overflow. Deluge. Much, much rain, much possession, much fruit, much anointing, much land, much benefit, much whatever it is. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, now, so here we go. It's never left you, but this is about a downpour, okay? This is about that no rainy season is going to get missed, okay? It's not going to get missed. So they both come. And when it rains, the ground gets green. Now, in the verses here in Joel, God is showing up again like he did with Moses to help his people, because there was some locusts. They came along and they ate up the land. Remember? Yeah. Remember? Okay. So, he's about to do what he always does. He's going to show up and take care of stuff. Listen to Exodus 10:19. Now I heard, Robin Bullock begin to psalm about a wind blowing on Tuesday. Anybody hear it? The wind's blowing. There's a wind coming. There's a wind blowing. Now, listen to this scripture. The Lord shifted the wind. He shifted it to a violent west wind, which lifted up the locusts and drove them into the Red Sea. Not one locust remained within the border of Egypt. Remember that when that happened? He got rid of the locusts. Can I tell you, he's about to get rid of your locusts? Yes. He's about to get rid of the locusts from America.
Yes.
Amen? He's about to. The Lord showed me, those of you that are online, the Lord showed me, I didn't know this was how it was going to work, but he said that today we would release a prosperity anointing that would last for 6 days. And that people would see unusual, extraordinary signs and wonders in their finances. So everybody was running up in the prayer meeting to get that. And I said, no, the Lord's going to have to lead us on that. And so, yeah, y'all just stay over there. Be good. So so we're doing it. And I didn't know how this was going to work, but I sense it. Why 6 days? Well, I was talking to Debbie and Dwayne. I said, now I want a word on that. I like to have a word on everything I do. And Dwayne said, hey, when she ran out of pots, that was the end of it. So evidently there's 6 pots for 6 days. And I think he gave us the answer. There was a limit on these days. And that's not to say your prosperity is going to end. It's just going to be financial miracles. Are y'all paying attention now? Okay, because I'm going to finish and then we'll do that. Okay, so here it is. God's going to get rid of your locusts. But he's not only going to get rid of them, but he's going to restore what they tore up. Okay? And then on top of that, he's going to pour out his spirit on all flesh. So all your friends and all the people around you are about to get a big Holy Ghost blast. Yeah, they are. This is the awakening. Just believe for them. Believe for your family. Believe that they're going to have an awakening. It's time. Thank you, Jesus. It's time. Now, let me finish. Give me about 90 seconds. All of this is happening now. How are you going to approach this? You have to know how to approach this. Well, the verse right before it tells you how. Fear not, O land. Be glad. And rejoice. Yeah, for the Lord will do great things. So this is what we call, imagine this, a faith approach. This is a faith approach. Y'all, this is a faith approach. Okay? So we're gonna fear not. We're gonna rejoice. We're gonna be glad. Being glad means that you appreciate, you're grateful. You're grateful. And so ahead of knowing what's going on right now, God had made him. Look how he set this up. I just realized he just set up what I'm preaching about. He showed up. He said, there's a burning bush. And y'all yielded. And you did it without me making a call for it. Susan just did it out of the Spirit. You did what God called you to do without me having to interfere. Now, so faith does things before the manifestation. God's got us. We're going to be glad. So your approach toward the awakening encounter with God is to rejoice. Start celebrating. Start celebrating now. Now, remember when Elijah, I'm almost done. Remember when Elijah over there in Kings, 2 Kings 7, when he goes to Samaria, and remember they're in bad famine. I mean, they're having to eat some bad stuff. And he goes in there and he says, by this time tomorrow. Remember that scripture? He says, by this time tomorrow, this whole thing, there's going to be plenty of money. There's going to be plenty of food. There's going to be everything. You remember that? By this time tomorrow. That's in my notes. I didn't have that earlier. By this time tomorrow. So, if you're going to do this, then you're going to have to approach it by faith. So get your plenty and get your glory by faith as it rolls in. As it rolls in, get it, take it. Watch the enemy get what is due to them by faith. I'm telling you, God's going to get every one of those old locusts out of there. Can I talk like that? Those locusts are leaving. They're not going to be tearing up the land anymore. Did you hear that? They're not going to tear up the land anymore. They're not going to tear up the land anymore. I can hardly do this. So, with Father, well, let me say this to you. You've got the right approach. Remember, Esther had to get all pretty to get the right approach. You remember Mary knew what to say to Jesus to get the water to wine. Okay, what about the Syrophoenician woman? Her approach got her something, and she's outside the covenant. So it's about approach. She knew to say, well, even the puppies get some crumbs. She knew how to approach Jesus. Okay? So it's all about approach. So what we see is with Father, we approach with honor, with surrender, humility, no fear, gratitude, rejoicing, and faith. And so we know that even though we can run and sit in his lap, we come respecting the position he holds in the universe. Yes. Amen. We respect the anointing. When the anointing's going on, we're not, you know, texting or whatever, digging in your purse or whatever. The anointing is to be honored. That's why sometimes, you know, when people get to talking while I'm preaching, I'll say, excuse me, it's not polite to talk while other people are talking, so I'll be quiet. I do that on purpose. Not because I can't preach over you. It's about respecting the anointing. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So, there's nothing between us and God. This is our approach. And it's like this. If you take a correction, you will get direction. You will know what to do. So get rid of what might hinder your approach. And then move in with no fear, rejoicing, and gladness. So let's just rejoice right now.